Let's take 802.
Authorize a grant agreement with Janus Youth Programs, Inc. for $297,000 to provide shelter beds, treatment, and case management for juvenile human trafficking victims.
Good morning, Commander Burke and team from the Police Bureau and Dennis. Welcome.
Morning. Yeah, I'm George Burke. I'm the commander of the Detective Division with Portland Police Bureau, and I have with me Sergeant Mike Geiger, and Dennis Moreau is here, and we brought a couple other folks. Lieutenant Dave Meyer is with us if we have any questions, as well as, before I announce too much, with Sergeant Geiger looking at a retirement, we're transitioning with Sergeant Chuck Lavelle. We'll be taking that spot as we move forward. So we're all here present to answer any questions if you have them. What we're here to talk about today is an agreement, a grant agreement between the City of Portland and Janus Youth, which would be split into a couple of different directions, both supporting juvenile victims of human trafficking. We've had a longstanding relationship with both Janus Youth and SARC, which is the Sex Assault Resource Center. It's been going on for years. We've been providing funding, and this is a very good way for us to provide solidify that funding, as well as providing some metrics and feedback on where that funding is going and what we're getting in return for that. I'm not going to get into all the details. Sergeant Geiger could get into that, but in short, Janus Youth is providing shelter beds for our victims of human trafficking, in particular the juvenile victims of human trafficking. And then SARC is providing the advocacy and the support and the ongoing advocacy on a 24-hour a day basis, 7 days a week, as well as the shelter beds are available in the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What we're asking for is the approval of the agreement for $297,000, which would support that and would allow us to receive some significant feedback on how that money is being spent and what we're getting out of return.
Great. Sergeant Geiger, you have something to add on that?
I think I do. This has been a long fight. It's been a difficult one that we've been engaged in for quite a few years now. I think much of what we've been trying to come to grips with is how does that happen here? How does it happen so often? And what's going on with our children and our community? And what is clearly becoming one of the fastest growing criminal enterprises in the world today. But we've also been trying to figure out how do we strike a balance between accountability, between law enforcement efforts, and the needs of the child, the needs of the vulnerable and the violated. What this shows me is that it is confirmation that the City of Portland has chosen to take a stand on behalf of the vulnerable and on behalf of the violated. And I would say that support for law enforcement and support for the victims are not mutually exclusive. What we've come to learn is the way in which we view an individual dictates the way in which we respond to that individual. So by providing advocacy, resources, a safe place to stay, what we're telling them is that our overriding goal is their restoration and their removal from a life of exploitation and victimization to one of health and safety and a positive future. Those things can't be accomplished absent the support services that we brought to bear on their behalf. Young people, whether they're teenagers or people in their 20s or whoever they are, they desire safety and they desire security. But they need first and foremost to have their emotional and physical needs met before we begin to address all of the other factors. And I think this is what this does. What we've seen is a dramatic increase in our ability to prosecute cases both at the state and federal level. It's been remarkable, actually. What I would submit is we would have never been able to accomplish that absent the support of people like Janus and the Sexual Assault Resource Center, because what that has effectively done is allowed them to rebuild their own emotional state, to gain a sense of security and empowerment, to recognize finally that there is a degree of victimization that they hadn't previously faced before, which empowers them and strengthens them to give us the information that we need in order to put together a comprehensive case that brings accountability. And so what I would say is we're accomplishing both. And I'm very happy about that because it speaks to what we think about these young people. It speaks to the priority that we have here in our community, that we want the best for them. We want them to be free of exploitation. And to me, that speaks to the character of our department. It speaks to the character of this council. And your support is just very much appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you. Dennis Morrow, Executive Director at Janus Youth Programs. I was watching the earlier presentation, and I thought it's rather appropriate today that we're looking at this particular allocation for this particular population after you've looked at a massive amount of information around how to market Portland. I remember about 5 years ago when Dan Rather produced a film known as Pornland, and the marketing that we had to fight was we were named as the second highest hub of sex trafficking of minors in the entire country. And I'm proud to say that we are now doing things about that to be able to change that. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the kids. 3 years ago, this council voted to provide services through Janus and through SARC to ensure 24-hour availability of shelter and also of an advocate to work with the girls. And when that vote was taken, I sat in front of those of you that were here, and I said, I would only want you to allocate this money today if you promise not to take it away in the future, because these are children who have been disappointed far too many times. And I'm very proud to be back and see that, as he said, this commitment is being maintained. You have not gone back on your promise. It's been an amazing, you saw a lot of metrics up there in terms of return on investment. I think there's been a huge return on investment that you have made here, oftentimes invisible because these are not the kids that anybody wants to see that are out there. But for instance, we have served over 100 girls through our Athena House program since the first grant was made. SARC has worked with over 300 girls. Our age now goes from 12 out to age 25. And as you know, the most recent allocation last year with Amanda and the mayor's help, we were able to extend our shelter services from 18 to 21. The thing that was amazing about that was most all of the girls, we immediately started getting calls. As soon as we went over age 18, they were calls from the girls who had been with us when they were younger and they aged out of services. So before that shift was made, they would be on the street and back into the law enforcement channel and right back where they started. So this entire continuum now goes from age 12 to 25. A second way that you have got a return on investment is the chart I just gave you. This is a description of Portland and Multnomah County's charts for working with all kids on the street, homeless youth, runaway youth, and sex trafficked youth. You'll see there's an intersection of those three groups, and that's at Janus, and the intersection is simply because Janus is the 24-hour availability for the police any time of the day or night to call or bring a youth to us, and we can find shelter for a homeless youth, we can find shelter for a runaway youth, and we can find shelter for a sex traffic victim, and it will not be the same shelter. I will tell you, sitting here today, this is a national model. There is no other city or jurisdiction in this country that has even one of those circles working together. There is no other jurisdiction that has three of them intersecting, and there is no other jurisdiction that would sit here with a police officer and a social service worker at the same table, both advocating for services for these kids. I've been all over the country. It's just not happening. And people come back over and over to me and say, how do you do it? How do I do what? How do you work with the police? I say, how do you not work with the police on this issue? How do you work with child welfare? How do you not work with child welfare? So your funding has created, and it's something you don't realize, but we realize in our system, a national model where people come here. We've had about a half a dozen visits in the last year. It's our little mini tourism you don't see, but we've had people from New Jersey. We've had people from Wisconsin. We've had people from Atlanta. People come here to find out what we're doing so they can go back and try and begin to build their systems where they're from. And then the third level that's in the contract, I noticed that I hadn't seen that until I was looking at the contract language. It talks about community education and advocacy. I know SARC people are out there doing that a lot. I'll give you an example in terms of how that works. Over the last 3 months, I have given presentations around sex trafficking to the East Republican Women's Club in Multnomah County, East Multnomah County Republican Women's Club. I've given one to the Cruiseway Rotary. And last week, I was invited to go to the Bend City Club, invited to go down there, and I gave a forum speech for them that basically our goal was to galvanize that community to begin to do something in Bend, because they were talking the same way we were talking 5 years ago, which is, we don't think we have a problem here, do we? And I think when I left that they believe that they have a way to begin to look at this. That's on their website if you want to see that presentation, but it was really a very powerful presentation. So I want to say thank you for reauthorizing the money. I also want to say thank you for placement, and this is a very odd situation, I want you to understand. You're giving money for victim services, and it's going into the police bureau. Again, no place in the country would you see that happening. And if it did, you'd find people like me saying, don't do it. How can you put service money in the police bureau? But we consider, in all of our work with homeless youth and runaway youth and sex traffic victims, for years, they have been our primary partner. We cannot do the work without them. And I think it makes total sense to have this managed in conjunction with and through the very people that we're partnering with. And I also think it's a very profound message to the community, to the girls themselves, and to the rest of the country that this is how the work gets done. And in Portland, we do it differently, and we do it better. Athena House, by the way, is one of fewer than 50 programs nationally like this. We don't know the exact number, but at a national conference, there were under 50 that were identified in the whole country. So all of these things are really amazing. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for being here and creating a partnership or cementing a partnership that's already been created.
I know we have a number of questions. Start with you, Commissioner Fritz.
Well, thank you for your words. Very, very moving. Mayor, I just want to make sure that it is your intent. I think it's currently in special appropriations as approved in this year's budget, but your intent, since it is an ongoing appropriation, is to put it into the police budget.
Yes, correct.
So I just beg you don't, because it's safely in the budget and we don't have to keep coming back and asking for it every year, please keep coming back and telling us what's happening and reminding people that we have this challenge, because I think it's because of the work of the advocates, including the brave survivors who have come in over the last 4 or 5 years, that we now have a recognition that we collectively have a problem and we collectively need to help solve it. So thank you very much.
You mentioned some numbers and some measurements of our success. It's really important that we get that kind of information, because yes, even if a budgetary line item is safe, doesn't mean we don't need to know what's going on. And in fact, some of the numbers I'd be interested in is the size of the unmet need that each of you sees. For example, how many more shelter beds do we need? What about long-term shelter? What are the next things on the list for this partnership in terms of reaching the victims that we need to reach? So
right.
That's something I want to hear more about. I bet the rest of the council does too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will be doing reports on daily and monthly counts, basically, of number of kids served, the demographic of the kids served, both age and race demographic. And one of the things in terms of Athena House started as an emergency shelter only, but actually now it is a shelter and a long-term residential facility. So the girls, mostly girls, some boys, but the kids can stay there indefinitely. They get to make the choice. That's different than any place else in the country. The state of Oregon also just authorized a contract to begin a state program, which is going to be very long-term specialized care for these girls as well. It's going to be a 12-bed facility serving 11 to 15-year-olds specifically. And we're going to be working in partnership with Morrison Child and Family Services, who got that contract. So that will be another add-on to the system in an area where we desperately need it. And it also really strengthens, because they're specifically working with the younger girls, then that again makes this change with Athena and Sark being able to work with the older kids. That really makes a lot of sense, because we're going to see transition. That's what we hope is going to happen. So we have to start tracking those kids as well. And what we do is we use records from Child Welfare and Sark and Janice. You have to put all three of those together, plus the police arrest stuff, to try and get a picture of what you're talking about. But we'll be cranking out data like crazy, because that's how we have to learn as well.
Another, I guess I want to raise another kind of a sensitive question. I've been at some pains in the 18, 19 months I've been here to build a good working relationship with Multnomah County, and thus the kind of accord that we were able to reach on the last two budgets, more work to do. Chair Kafoury is as committed as her predecessors, maybe at least as committed as her predecessors, to carrying on the work that Chair Madrigal and I did of coming in with a coherent city-county allocation of responsibility, and you stay in your lane, do this, we'll stay in our lane, do that. That work continues going into the next budget cycle. But you mentioned your presentations elsewhere. The sensitive question I want to raise is, what should we, because I've also been at pains to build good relationships with our neighboring jurisdictions, Beaverton, Hillsborough, all the rest, what should I be asking of our regional partners? There are regional partners with us in other things like transportation and land use and other issues. What should I be asking of Gresham and Beaverton and Lake Oswego and Hillsborough and, in your opinion, are they fully cooperating on the law enforcement side on these issues? Are they fully cooperating on the services side on these issues?
All right. I guess I'll give that a shot. I think what would be very helpful for us is to have a voice come from the mayor's office, probably also from the police bureau, to both leadership in our neighboring cities as well as police officials. The reality is we're bumping up against the law of unintended consequences, where the harder we push inside the city of Portland, we tend to drive it outside of Portland and move it into Clackamas County and into Gresham and East Multnomah County. And we've been seeing a number of cases surface in the Gresham, Rockwood, East Multnomah County area outside the city of Portland. And we've been taking those cases as well. I think it is a good conversation to talk to both city officials and police officials to talk about ways in which that they can become engaged in this, to partner with us, and to also help bear some of the burden. That could come perhaps with funding for advocacy services for youth who reside in East Multnomah County. It could also be an encouragement to ask for law enforcement participation in our task force, in our federal task force, to assist us with investigations that occur outside the city of Portland. And I think the reason that this is so important is because there is a tendency in many communities to say that that's a problem that exists there. And with all of the publicity, what I continually hear is, well, this is really a Portland problem. I mean, we've heard about it on the news and all of that. It's certainly not happening here. We all know that that's not true, and we also know that's not a healthy look for a community to have, because what they're essentially doing is denying a problem that exists in their own community and pushing it off on somewhere else. So I think it's going to take a conversation at all levels to encourage participation.
And I think we've seen some pretty graphic examples, especially in the last couple of days, of how this happens in some of our most affluent communities outside the city of Portland. And I think at the law enforcement level, the workers work very well together, and it's just a matter of getting those of us in management to understand how that work needs to be done and how to make it happen, and then how does it get funded properly.
Thank you. Dennis, what do you see on the services side?
On the services side, Multnomah County is heavily invested in all three of those circles. They fund the predominance of the runaway and the homeless youth side, and they put at least as much or more money than the city does to Janus, actually more, about twice as much, to support Athena House for everybody in the county. And also, similar to your contract, we have money in there for SARC advocates who are then identified to support youth throughout the county. So we're able to not be limited to the city, and we can service any youth anywhere in the county. I will tell you, we have another unique perspective because Janus operates the only emergency shelters and homeless youth programs in Southwest Washington. And we have a fairly significant, as he was saying, an unseen and unidentified number of youth over there that started being seen when we started asking questions when we did our intake work around them. And it's the same thing, that we see the business shifting back and forth in a way to kind of protect or avoid detection. But I think there's also going to be, this is a regional issue just beyond the Oregon side of the region. There really is a state regional issue that we see interplaying with this as well. And I think that's a discussion that's definitely worth having, because there are no resources outside of our two emergency shelters, but no specialized resources until you get to Seattle when you cross the river.
Thank you very much. I know we also have SARC here this morning, so we want to hear from SARC as well. Any other questions for these partners of the partnership? Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I don't think SARC is here today.
Oh, no one from SARC?
No, they were going to, but Aaron was on vacation, something came up. So I'm SARC also.
Okay, great. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And then do we have others signed up to speak on this item?
I know one person has requested to speak.
Yes, please. Morning.
Good morning. I'm Joel Shapiro. Some of you may know me. I've been involved with this issue for at least the last 5 years, and I wanted to basically amplify what the previous speakers have said and add some additional context. So I serve as a consultant at Shared Hope International, which is a nonprofit that has worked on this issue for a very long time. But I got involved in this issue when I was counsel at Senator Wyden in Washington, D.C. And what I learned talking with folks nationally about this issue when I began to study why this was a problem is that there was a real lack of cooperation between service providers and law enforcement. And one of the very few places where that wasn't a problem was Portland, Oregon. And so we crafted a federal bill which basically said to the Department of Justice, you need to replicate what Portland is doing and serve other communities by creating this collaborative model where people sit around the same table and they're able to address this problem in that way. And why is that so important? Because it goes to a lot of the issues that you've discussed here, which is return on investment and the way we treat victims of crime. Because if we don't address the needs of those victims, they end up cycling again and again through our law enforcement system, which creates a lot of expense for the police bureau, for our courts, and for our human services providers. And by making this investment, you're allowing a system to develop that can meet a lot of those gaps. And as Dennis said, that the state is now also beginning to make an investment so that DHS doesn't experience the kind of revolving door that they have with victims where we know they need help, we know they need services, we know they're not in a place to be able to cooperate with law enforcement to help build a case against the criminals that are involved, whether it be the traffickers or whether it be the buyers that are creating the demand for this problem. But we can't build those law enforcement cases unless the victims get the services that they need to address their mental health, their addiction, their emotional insecurities that have led them into this very traumatic, very violent process. So I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but I just want to amplify the fact that if we don't create more opportunities, the system is not going to continue to develop. And we all know that having one shelter is not going to meet the needs of every victim that's out there. Having two shelters is not going to meet the needs of every victim that's out there. That we need a range, we need a continuum of services, and this is a very, very vital part of that, which is going to allow Portland to continue to be a model and continue to develop the best practices so that the investments that have been made and hopefully will continue to be made become more efficient and more effective. So I think now is a very important turning point to continue to learn and build a system that will meet a broader need of victims that are out there. So that's the message I wanted to deliver.
Thanks, Joel. Great. Questions? Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Anyone else that wants to speak? Then we'll take a roll call on the emergency ordinance, please.
Saltzman.
Well, very happy to see this, and thank you for the progress report. Sergeant Geiger, thank you for your service. Working on very tough issues, and I hope you enjoy your retirement or your next career, whatever path it is. You've served the city well. And Janice, always, as always, great provider, finding needs and solving the problems of people who need help. And that goes for SARC as well. So very pleased to see this great relationship between our police bureau, Janice, SARC, and great to see the steady funding, the commitment of this body for steady funding of this program. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much for your commitment to this important and very difficult and heartrending work. Aye.
Fritz. Thank you all for working together, and particularly Sergeant Geiger. That was one of the most beautiful and eloquent speeches on the issue that I've heard, and I'm going to have my staff get the transcript and post it on my blog because I think more people should hear. One of our often berated Portland Police Bureau doesn't get the credit for some of the heartfelt work that goes on there. And I know Mike Gallagher and others are just daily in the trenches doing tremendous work. Thank you so much. Mayor, thanks to you and Chair Marisa Madrigal for making this a linchpin of your agreement for ongoing funding. It's one of the most satisfying things. It's right up there with earned sick time and the things that I've been able to work on while I've been on the council that make such a difference in people's lives. And I'm very grateful that we have ongoing funding. We will be bringing a report in August for the six-month project that we funded one time last year. Even though we now have it ongoing funded, we promised to bring the report, so we'll have another session on that in August. I hope you heard loud and clear that the mayor supports an additional ask in the next year's budget, and I would also be very interested in an additional request in next year's budget, particularly for the Boys Strength Program, to make sure that we keep that going. And I very much appreciated that diagram you gave of us of all of the agencies working together. I do worry a little about LifeWorks being funded with the federal grant, and I think that that's something else that we need to keep our eye out and make sure that there's adequate funding for that part of the program. But just tremendous work, and thank you very much for your leadership on it, Mayor. Aye.
Hales.
Well, first, in the year and a half that I've gotten to know the Police Bureau better, process continues, obviously. I keep running into people who do their work with passion and deep understanding, and I think we heard that here this morning, and it's funny, I had the exact same response that you had, and I'm going to get that transcribed. What you said this morning, Sergeant, was so eloquent and so clear about the issues in this work that obviously you have that passion and deep understanding, and we appreciate that very much. Secondly, you know, we have a number of relationships with the FBI, that one of which is controversial, but I had a chance to get briefed by the FBI staff working on these issues, and they're also part of this cooperative effort, and I heard that same passion and deep understanding and empathy and outrage for the victims of these crimes from their staff that work on these issues as well. So that was pretty heartening to me to get that briefing along with some of my staff. Finally, I mentioned wanting to hear more from the partnership. The council's also going to be developing our legislative agenda that we go to the state legislature and say, we want these legal changes made in state law. Regular cycle, we're getting ready for that over the next couple of months. So if you see issues there that call out for thinking about a change in state law, whether it's on the criminal side or elsewhere, you know, please don't be shy about that either, and let us know that, hey, we think the city of Portland should advocate for this change in what the penalties for being a John are, for example. Just saying. So if there are issues like that where you see places where we ought to be advocating for changes in state or federal policy, please let us know, because there's a cycle to that, and the next couple of months are pretty critical for us to develop that set of proposals that we take down to Salem in the early part of next year. So great work by all concerned, much more work to do, and thank you all for the passion and understanding that you bring to it. Aye. Okay.